Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, my name is Tasneem and this is Ad-Dhikrayat, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on this rather cold and wet Tuesday afternoon. Let us begin today in the name of Allah, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim, Rabbi Shahli Sadri wa Yasir Li Am, Wahlul Uqtatam Min Lisani Yafqaw Qawli. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we begin in the name of Allah, all praise is due to Allah. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'atina a'malina. Alhamdulillah, another day has passed and we almost halfway through this beautiful month of Ramadan, being the 13th of Ramadan. Today's show we'll be focusing on some of the lessons that we learned from the Sahaba during the Battle of Badr. And before we begin in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. So let us make this Ramadan a remarkable one, inshallah. This is week two of remarkable Ramadan with me, Tasneem, on Ad-Dhikrayat. Last week's show we discussed how to free your mind of negative thought and how to declutter your mind. Ramadan being the month of spiritual reformation and physical detox, we also looked at how to make this month also a month where we can detox the mind and inshallah replace those negative beliefs systems with positive ones. And inshallah, remember Ramadan is the time to renew you and refresh you for the rest of the year so that you have enough spiritual energy to survive the rest of the 11 months, inshallah. This week, in week two of Remarkable Ramadan, we look at how to free your body from tensity, laziness and bad speech, where we look at fasting does not give us an excuse to be weak. And we see this by looking at the companions during the Battle of Badr and discuss the lessons that we learn from one of the most important events in the history of Islam. We also look at the importance of dua, especially during these blessed Mubarak days. These are the days of forgiveness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect that supplication is the essence of worship. Al-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. We also look at the advice from the sunnah and how to handle confrontation and antagonism. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding of his beautiful deen. Alhamdulillah, during this blessed month of Ramadan, Radio Islam has been focusing on the theme of the 99 names of Allah.
This is part of Radio Islam International's theme for Ramadan 1439, the 99 names of Allah, attributes that can never be matched.
Alhamdulillah, so we look at the name Al-Aziz today, the mighty, the strong, the dignified and the powerful, the one who is the most powerful and most cherished, the victorious one whose strength, glory and power are overwhelming and cannot be overcome or resisted, the one whose dignity, majesty and power are unique, precious and unattainable by mankind, the one whose respectability and nobility are above all others, the one who is the ultimate in honor and nobility, the invincible who cannot be overcome, the overpowering who cannot be overcome nor subdued, the extremely precious, and that nothing equals to him or is like him or is appeared to him. This is Al-Aziz. Having faith in this name leads to having courage and boldness, because one knows that his or her Lord cannot be prevented and his command or affair cannot be repelled. Whatever he wills will happen, even if the people will otherwise, and whatever he wills will not happen, even if the people willed it. Hence, whoever desires honor and power, then he should seek it from Allah, Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz appears in the Quran with Al-Hakim 47 times. What is the connection between these? Let us look at it. Al-Aziz speaks about the might of Allah. Al-Hakim, which means the wise, shows that Allah uses his power and might with wisdom. Always use your own power or authority in an honorable way with wisdom over your children or spouse, for example. Train yourself to have strength to resist desires by reminding yourself of the wisdom of Al-Aziz, who uses his power with his wisdom, and always try to strengthen others with your advice, skills or company. Al-Wadud, So that was Al-Aziz, one of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Ramadan, get to know Allah, increase in faith and become better people through knowing, understanding and living the meanings of Allah's 99 names. Allah has described Himself in the Quran through His names and attributes. And by studying these names and attributes, it's one of the most effective ways of strengthening our relationship with Allah. Each name and attribute nourishes a kind of consciousness and humility in us. Alhamdulillah. So let us take this time out during Ramadan to actually get to know Allah through His 99 names, inshallah. So just looking at today's show, inshallah, we have an exciting lineup for today's show. And I'll be taking you up through till 3 p.m., inshallah. So looking forward to spending the rest of this time with you, with all the listeners out there. If you are driving, take it safe on the roads. The roads are wet if you're driving in the Johannesburg area. So the lines are open. The number to call is 854-1548-011. 854-1548. The number to WhatsApp is 072-786-1548. 072-786-1548. And the SMS number is 48855. 48855. So please, I do look forward to listening to you and having interaction with our listeners. So please feel free to interact on any one of those mediums. And I look forward to hearing from you, the listeners. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if you've just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on this rather cold, wet Tuesday afternoon. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My name is Tasneem and this is Ad-Dhikrayat, kicking off week two of Remarkable Ramadan on the Ad-Dhikrayat show. So I've been doing fascinating research with regards to Ramadan and what to include in the show. Alhamdulillah, last week we spoke about how to get rid of negative thoughts, or not even get rid of them, just how to free your mind rather from clutter, from negative thoughts, from meaningless worry. And if you need to worry, the only relationship you need to worry about, especially during this month, is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This week, however, we'll be focusing on how to free your body from tensity, laziness, bad speech. You know, we look at fasting, and fasting does not give you an excuse to be weak. Look at the companions during the Battle of Badr. And as for bad speech, when someone antagonizes you, just say, verily, I am fasting, I am fasting. This is from the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us on how to control and manage your speech, especially when you are fasting. Week 3, which is next week, we look at how to free your heart from vengeance, from hatred, from unforgiveness. And the last and final week of Remarkable Ramadan, we look at week 4, where we look at freeing your spirit from hubbud dunya and from people and from things. So kicking off with today's show, inshallah, speaking about how to free your mind and your body from tensity, laziness and bad speech. Before we go on to the lessons that we learn in the Battle of Badr, I think it's important for us to understand what these beautiful days are. Alhamdulillah, we started off Ramadan on a high, being excited for this beautiful day ahead, and you know, being ready to wake up for suhoor and to fast the entire day. And then, you know, with regards to change is difficult in the beginning. So initially it might have been a bit difficult, but we were excited for the beautiful month. But change always gets messy in the middle. And this is where we find ourselves, being the 13th of Ramadan, almost halfway through this beautiful month. A lot of us start feeling a bit tired from the lack of sleep and a bit drained from the fasting. But all is not lost. If you haven't done what you set out to do, you still have time. And alhamdulillah, what lies ahead are the best of nights. And within those best of nights lies the most amazing night, which is better than 1,000 months. So all is not lost. I think it's just to have faith and to have hope that you can still do better. Don't be so hard on yourself. Forgive yourself. Get rid of those negative thoughts and start focusing on what you have right in front of you, inshallah. So a scholar once made a very profound comment, and he said, have people reached a point in their ignorance of Allah that they don't even know how to call out to Him anymore? They don't even know how to have a personal conversation between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think it's so important, especially during the next few days of Ramadan that we literally have left, to sit down and to establish this relationship with Allah, this conversation with Allah in the means of dua, being the essence of of ibadah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ad-du'a al-mukhul ibadah, it's the essence of ibadah. So we need to look at du'a and learn how to connect and how to have this conversation between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about what a personal du'a looks like, you know, the word in Arabic is munajat, which means their pleas, your own personal pleas. And what actually does a personal plea or call look like to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care if you rhyme. He doesn't care how you sound. You know, sometimes we make a dua in a language that we understand best. He doesn't care what language you're speaking in. It doesn't matter. All Allah cares about is our sincerity. So a lot of times we want to make dua, you know, with the dua kitabs in fancy Arabic and Urdu, but we need to actually focus on what's in our heart. We have Sister Rukaya on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Tasleem, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the show.
JazakAllah khairan. I'd just like to say, I wish you a blessed, blessed Ramadan Mubarak. What beautiful days Allah has given us. What loveliness. You can do, the days are short, the nights are also very nice and long. You can make Ibadah at night more than what you can make it in the day. Because as the days are so short, we have to do this and that, and it goes on by. And also, Allah has given me such strength. At my age, I'm so happy I can keep all my songs from myself. And I can make ibadah. And I hope, I pray for everybody, all the old people that can't fast, Allah forgive them. There are many old people older than myself that can't fast, can't make the but Allah forgive them all, inshallah.
Mashallah.
And Allah reward all them also for making dua.
So, tell the listeners how old you are.
I'm 85.
MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala grant you strength and afia and grant you barakah in your long life, inshallah.
Ameen. JazakAllah.
And you're calling us from?
We see all of you taking such great part in this blessed month of Ramadan. Give us so much advice. So much.
Ameen. Allah
so
accepts,
nice
inshallah.
It's so nice to hear people talking nice and giving us such great, great advice in this beautiful month. Inshallah, Allah, give all of you, all of the Allah reward you all, grant you the highest places in Jannah.
Ameen.
Allah, Pak, Tawai, Maya, you, your family, and all of them, give you a long life, wealth, and happiness. Lots of barakah to you, Rizzi, in your home. And may Allah bless every woman Muslim in this blessed month to read the Quran every day and the tasbih every day and make zikr to Allah and also make dua for all the people the other side of the world who are suffering.
JazakAllah so much. JazakAllah for those beautiful duas. Ameen. And the angels are saying Ameen to you too. Sister Rukaya, where are you calling us from?
From Roshni.
From Roshni. JazakAllah so much. We look forward to hearing from you again.
And once more, I'd like to thank you for the beautiful program.
Ameen. Allah accept, inshallah.
Inshallah. And may Allah bless you, reward you here in the akhirat.
Ameen. JazakAllah for your beautiful du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
JazakAllah, that was Sister Rukaya calling us from Roshni, 85-year-old lady, mashallah. Still, Allah Ta'ala has blessed her with immense strength to still continue with her fast. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant her barakah in her long life. What a good example for all of us listeners, inshallah. JazakAllah for that beautiful call and for all the beautiful du'as. And ameen, and same to you, inshallah. So just before the caller, we were speaking about the importance of how to reconnect with Allah, especially during these blessed days of forgiveness, and how to turn to Allah and you know, use the medium of dua. Dua is also a weapon of the believer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So inshallah, we should connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our hearts. Give your heart to the one who made your heart. Give your soul to the one who has made your soul and created your soul. So a lot of times we get stuck when we have to make dua because we sit with the dua kitabs and we're reciting in Arabic, beautiful mashallah Arabic, but our hearts know nothing about what we are saying. So we need to understand what we are speaking, what we are saying, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a heart soulful level. Imam Ahmad, may Allah be have mercy on him, he was asked once, and you know, he was asked, what is the distance between us and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said, a pious prayer from a pure heart. That's how we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the prophetic prescriptions of dua, the best du'as, the prayers, the supplications are the ones taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ones that we read in the Quran, the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam, all these du'as sent through divine revelation, and you know, the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam largely encouraged the people around him to call upon Allah in a very personal way. In a very, very personal way. And if we look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're essentially a generation of yaqeen, a generation of certainty. They're a generation of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their own unique way. So each one of us can have such a special, unique relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can connect with Him in, you know, in a soulful, heartful way, where we're sincere, and Allah ta'ala knows what's within our hearts before we even open our mouths. But sometimes we don't know. So self-awareness is critical to even making dua. We need to know what we want to change within ourselves. And like I said, change is difficult in the beginning. It gets messy in the middle, but alhamdulillah, it's glorious in the end. So just because you fall or commit a sin doesn't mean you're evil. It shows that you're human. We all slip from time to time. But how you fix yourself thereafter is what matters most. We need to get up and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as you can with each fall, repent, and never ever give up, inshallah. So this is what we need to do during Ramadan. You know, Ramadan isn't just a month of controlling what you eat. It's also a month of controlling your speech. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if anyone wants to approach you or abuse you or insult you or antagonize you while you're fasting, you should simply say, Inni sa'im, inni sa'im, inni sa'im. Which means, I am fasting. Verily, I am fasting. So this is the advices and the guidance given by the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to control our tongue, to have, you know, anger management, even at this time when your stomach and your belly is so empty and anything can trigger off, you know, an episode where you might just lose it. It's very important for us to be so conscious of who we are in that moment. If you look at it, our greatest blessing is in fact that no matter what happens in life, we can always turn to Allah and trust in His plan. We can raise our hands and we can call out to Him, and inshallah He will respond. So it's very, very important that this Ramadan we establish a solid relationship with Allah in terms of the way we communicate with Him, in terms of our dua, what we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our dunya, for our qabr, for our akhirah, in terms of making dua for those that have passed on, for our forefathers, for our ancestors, and including our progeny, inshallah. I came across a very interesting quote by Yasmin Mujahid, and she said, we are living in confusing times, but as believers we are given a powerful gift, which is dua. When you feel lost or unsure, dig deep, let go of the steering wheel, because every one of us is blind except whom He gives sight. Every one of us is lost except Him who He gives guidance. And every one of us are in darkness except Him who has been given the light. So let go and then ask. And ask for His guidance and His light. Ask for Him to make the truth clear from falsehood. Beg Him to steer you, for truly, truly we cannot steer ourselves. I found that so profound and so beautiful. And we even need to make a dua list. Maybe write it down. So before we sit down and have this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, think about it. If you needed to speak to somebody really important, if you were going into a meeting, you'd obviously have your notes with you. Make a few points on the things that you need to discuss in the meeting. So similarly, you are meeting with the King of all kings. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that I'm your best protecting friend. But we also need to honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position and know that, you know, when you're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know His His might. Know that He is Al-Aziz. Get to know Him through His 99 names. And sometimes a dua list might help, because you can get all your thoughts into perspective. So when you do raise your hands and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your thoughts will flow more freely, inshallah. I think the main thing is never to lose hope in Allah's mercy. That is shaitan's biggest trick, for us to lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Never believe that you're too far gone, you know, to even ask for forgiveness. He knows your struggle. Obviously, He's created you. He knows the test that you're going through. He's created that test for you. So when it overwhelms you, stop for a while and take a breath. And it's so important for us to just breathe. I think whatever you're doing right now, just stop and breathe. Because we don't do enough of that. Close your eyes. Okay, if you're driving, don't close your eyes, please. But if you're at home and you're not behind a steering wheel and your car's not moving, then close your eyes and call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if your eyes fill up, let those tears fall. If you don't want to be around people, excuse yourself. Because sometimes you need to be in seclusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be found when you are in solitary. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the cave of Hira. Ibrahim alayhi salam found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fire of Namrud, in seclusion, in solitude. So it's very, very important for us to find Allah in our solitude. So when you need to be secluded, remove yourself from the people that you are around. Excuse yourself. You may be the strong one, and we all want to be that strong one. But that does not mean that you are not allowed to feel weak every now and then. And I need to reiterate that weakness is, actually crying is not a sign of weakness. Tears are not a sign of weakness. You can fall down, but you can get right back up. And when you do, you'll realize how much stronger that moment of weakness actually made you. So that moment of weakness actually turns into a moment of strength. Subhanallah. And inshallah, we will be back after the break. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to today's show. You are on Al-Dhikrayat with me, Sister Tasneem. And alhamdulillah, we're having a rather remarkable Ramadan this year, inshallah, where we've taken every week and broke it down into different topics, where we looked at last week, we looked at week one, free your mind from clutter, negative thoughts, and meaningless worry. Today, we're focusing on how to free your body from tensity, laziness, and bad speech. Next week, rather exciting, we look at how to free your heart from vengeance, hatred, and unforgiveness. This Ramadan, learn to let go, people, inshallah. And then the last and final week, inshallah, just the week before Eid, week four, we look at how to free your spirit from hubbud dunya, inshallah. Then we're going to be recharging our souls and spiritually getting ready for the next of the year, the next 11 months, inshallah. So if you've just joined us, ahlan wa sahlan, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia on this rather wet, cold Tuesday afternoon. If you are on the road, take it easy. The roads are wet if you are in the Johannesburg area. So just before the break, we spoke about the importance of dua, how to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to make this relationship so personal and intimate, inshallah, that we can connect with Allah, give Him your heart. Give your heart to the one who made your heart, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. We are so blessed in this beautiful month of Ramadan. You know, we get to know Allah through His 99 names. And today's name was Al-Aziz that we spoke about just before the break. But being the 13th of Ramadan, we're almost at the 17th of Ramadan, which means it's a huge event in the life of a Muslim and in the history of Islam. Because on the 17th of Ramadan, the Battle of Badr took place on that day, in the second year of the Hijrah. It is one of the most important events in the history of the Ummah. And alhamdulillah, there's so much that we can learn from this beautiful stories of the Sahabas and the companions. Alhamdulillah, this month we fast also to feel the pains and agonies of the poor and needy. But most importantly, we fast to attain taqwa, which is one of the aims of fasting and the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it compulsory upon us to fast. In Sha'aban, you know, of that year, both the fasting and the zakah were made compulsory. The Prophet and his companions then began fasting Ramadan in intense heat. Subhanallah. If we look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just before the Battle of Badr took place, we know that the Battle of Badr took place on the 17th of Ramadan. Just before I continue, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855 and the WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. Please do give us a call. We love hearing from our listeners. So just to continue with the Battle of Badr. So if you look at that time during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his family and his home and he went out to Badr with around roughly 313 of his companions. You can ask yourself, why did he go out? To give victory to the religion of Allah and to convey the message of his Lord. In spite of the heat and the difficulty of the journey, he continued fasting on most of the days. Some days he didn't fast, but most of the days he fasted. So on the expedition, he shared a camel with Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Mirthad bin Abi Mirthad, and they each took turns to ride. While the other two walked, they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, you ride and we will walk. And look how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied. And, you know, alhamdulillah, while doing research for the show, it's amazing. I was so excited, I couldn't wait to share some of this info with the listeners. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then, neither are you stronger walkers than me, nor am I in less need of the reward than you. Alhamdulillah, here we are taught several lessons. We taught us, you know, number one, we taught a lesson in sacrifice and in negation of pride and satisfaction with one's actions. We taught about humility. He displayed his need for the reward of Allah in spite of the fact that even if he had ridden and let them walk, he would have received the reward for their actions because he was the one who was guiding them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, oh my dear listeners, this is the best of creation saying, nor am I in less need of the reward than you. Subhanallah. So we need to really expand our efforts this month. We need to try and reflect upon the Quran and to attend the gatherings of remembrance. You know, try and maximize during these beautiful weeks. We literally have a few days before it's all over. So none of the companions that went out were expected to go into battle with the Quraysh. But Allah wished to enable those great people. The angel Jibreel later asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how he and his companions regarded the people of Badr. And he replied, they are the best of us. Jibreel alaihi wasallam said, likewise we regard the angels of the heavens that attended Badr as being the best of us. They attained this rank because they gave victory to the best of the people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People naturally tend to choose that which is easier for their souls to bear. But beyond that easier choice, there may be something greater awaiting. If Allah then decrees something which is harder for the soul to bear, the believer gains felicity by being content with the decree of Allah in the knowledge that this is better for him. In fact, Sayyidina Ali later on goes on to say that if the veil were to be removed, you would only choose what has already been decreed. Because we all go through trials and tribulations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. So alhamdulillah, the companions succeeded because of they had this immense and intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger in their hearts. You know, 30 nights of Ramadan have passed and we have not yet understood this concept. Subhanallah, Ramadan has only come so that you can be elevated. This love is the foundation of victory and of honoring one's covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we witness this in the words of the companions on the approach of Badr. They knew that love of Allah and His Messenger were the foundation of their defense of truth and guidance. So look at the disparity between the two sides. You know, if you look at the Muslims, they only had 8 swords, 2 horses, 70 camels, each of which 3 people shared. And when we look at the Quraysh side, the Quraysh, on the other hand, had hundreds of swords and spears, 200 horses. Some of the history books said that they would slaughter 9 or 10 camels a day for food, not to mention the camels that were being used to carry the army. So the Quraysh approached arrogantly, boasting about how they would defeat the Muslims. This is the characteristic of the people of opposition to Allah and those that are heedless of Him. The Muslims, however, approached in a state of humility and fear of their Lord. excuse me, and Allah duly raised them. Allah describes those that He loves as being humble and compassionate in their dealings. There are so many lessons in here, my dear mothers and sisters, that we can take from the lessons from the life of the Sahaba and the way they did their dealings in terms of their humility, their akhlaq, their attributes, their qualities. They strived only for the sake of Allah. And you know, they were unafraid of the reproaches that those that find fault. That is the bounty of Allah which He bestows upon whom He pleases. Allah encompasses all and knows all things. We need to have taqwa. That is the main aim of fasting. If you clothe yourself in taqwa, you will attain the secrets of fasting, the illumination of the night prayer, and the reality of the transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with true love for Allah and His Messenger, you will be able to fulfill the commandments of Allah and gain victory over your lower selves. Because remember, this battle of Badr is a battle. But Imam Shafi said that the greatest jihad is a jihad within the self. And this is what we were speaking about last week, because we are still shackled by our nafs. So even though the shaitan have been shackled and chained and locked away, we as human beings, as believers of Allah, we are still shackled by our nafs. And we need to get rid of this passionate lower self and base desires as human beings. And we need to let, you know, we need to control them instead of this controlling us. So it's very important for us, you know, during this month of Ramadan to actually get to know yourself. You know, if you look at this historic event of the Battle of Badr, among the companions were youth. Some of them were only 15 or 17 years old. One of those was Sayyidina Haritha, who was one of the 14 companions martyred at Badr. Subhanallah. So, you know, there are so many lessons that we can learn. And Allah loved them. You know, He loved the Sahabas and He loved their sacrifice. And when we look at our sacrifice, we need to think, what are we doing during this blessed month? What are we doing to invoke abundant blessings upon ourselves? Because this is what we need to do to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so let us look at some of the lessons from the Battle of Badr. So a number of inspiring lessons can be learned from the Battle of Badr. These are the truly motivating factors when we face major challenges in our day-to-day activities. So there's so many lessons that we can look at within Badr, and I want you to call in and give me more. But when I was looking at the story of Badr, there were six that really stood out for me. Number one, we need to have true conviction. We need to have yaqeen in the help of Allah. You know, when we look at before the arrival to the battle, Allah sent down the rain to soften the ground over which the Prophet ﷺ and his army traveled, making them the animals and their animals more sure-footed, whilst the Meccans had part of their trail washed away and they were literally soaked in mud, making it difficult for them. Remember that Allah always opens a pathway for success when we place our full conviction and have firm faith in Him. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we will be back after the break, and when we come back, we will be looking at the lessons that we learned from the Battle of Badr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat with me, Tasneem, on this rather cold, windy, wet Tuesday afternoon in Johannesburg, coming to you live from our studios in Lanesia. You're on medium wave 1548. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today's show is all about how to free your body from laziness, density, and bad speech. And we look at the lessons that we learned from the companions during the Battle of Badr, where they were fasting. And this is no excuse to be weak. So a lot of times we feel we go into victim mode, and we feel sorry for ourselves, and we feel weak and tired, because Ramadan can be quite taxing on the body, especially with a lack of sleep and whatnot. But I think it's no excuse to feel sorry for yourself. And if you want to feel motivated, just listen to the stories of Sahaba. Read through the stories of the Sahaba and you will understand what they went through. And it's nothing that we can compare our lives to. But let us make them a point of reference in our lives. And inshallah, it will turn us from victims into survivors. Inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fasting. When He speaks about fasting in the Quran, He says that I have prescribed upon you, as I have prescribed for those before you, something to that effect. And when you think of the word prescription, automatically you think of somebody ill or sick. So our souls and hearts are sick. And Ramadan is the perfect time to heal from those sicknesses and to wash those hearts clean and to purify those sins and detox from all the toxins. So let us revisit this thought of Ramadan and embrace this beautiful month. And we literally have a few days left because we're almost halfway through. But alhamdulillah, being almost halfway through the 13th of Ramadan, we are speaking about an event that changed the history of Islam in humanity. And it was one of the most fundamental aspects with regards to the history of Islam. It's the Battle of Badr, which took place on the 17th of Ramadan, 2 years after Hijrah. And we're looking at some of the lessons that we learned from the Sahaba, the way they displayed their conviction and their yaqeen and their trust in Allah and their love for Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first one we spoke about was how to have true conviction and yaqeen in the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one that I found was, you know, total tawakkul in Allah, total reliance of Allah. So we need to make no excuses. This battle is where the early Muslims learnt the lesson of the power of total reliance on Allah. And it is the place where Allah guides a new Muslim community, teaching them the way of reliance on Allah. You must remember that the Muslims had just moved to Medina Munawwara and they had left all their belongings back in Mecca, and they were still new Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching them how to rely totally on Him. Allah sent the angels from the unseen world to give firmness to the believers and fulfill His commandment. This was a fulfillment of Allah's promise to send tranquility upon those who have firm faith. When Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when He caused calm to fall on you as a security from Him. Subhanallah. The third point, or the third lesson that I found fascinating, was success is from Allah. To believe that success is only from Allah. Among the signs of tawakkul in Allah from the companions was their complete trust that they could conquer the large army despite the racial difference. It is from the grounds of the battlefield we often find many verses revealed in the Quran of the spiritual and physical strength that was required. The success of the Muslim is only by Allah. So we should remember, we are not productive due to our own efforts. Everything that we do, every effort that we make is only through the mercy of Allah. Allah revealed after the battle, and He said that, and you did not kill them, but it was Allah who killed them, and you threw them not, O Muhammad, when you threw, but it was Allah who threw that. So subhanallah, this comes in Surah 8, verse 17. Similarly, the fight of the soul to develop itself is enduring this month so that you may reap many rewards, yet you must seek success only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth lesson, which is a very profound lesson, you are never alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that he and his companions were not alone in this battle. The Quran revealed that angels joined the battlefield to help the Muslims. Let's ask ourselves, how can we practically bring such aid from Allah in our day-to-day life? This is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we have this firm yaqeen, and if we follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his blessed companions, then we too will be able to see these miracles unfold in our daily existence. This is where the inner jihad that takes place in serving Allah comes into play. You know, when we speak about this inner struggle, it's an intense battle. We're constantly fighting our nafs, and this is what we see during this beautiful month. All the evil that we display is only from within ourselves. There's no one else to blame it upon. We are taught that internally we must open our soul with firm faith in Allah and guide our body and actions to do good deeds in order to receive assistance from Allah and to turn away from the distractions of shaitan. So inshallah, by doing this for 1 month, and continuing for the next 10 days after. So whatever we do for 40 days, then inshallah it will become a habit. And it will become inculcated in our daily routine. And then for the rest of the 11 months, inshallah, it becomes easy because it's already formed a habit. When we look at the fifth lesson that we learn, we need to stand united as one ummah. Today, unfortunately, Muslims worldwide are divided, yet the Battle of Badr affirmed the fruits of being united as a brotherhood. They solidified their lines and became like an immovable wall. The Quraysh were inwardly full of fear, and all the confidence which had been there as they set out from Makkah was washed out of them as they met the well-disciplined Muslim army. Even Shaitan fled the battlefield. Subhanallah. Even Shaitan fled the scene in overwhelming spiritual presence and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Shaitan could see the malaika descending. Subhanallah. So it's very, very important for us to stand united, and this is what Allah loves. And then the final lessons that I found, and I'm sure if you look into the lesson in Badr, you'll find many, many more lessons. But this was the sixth lesson that I found, and it said, don't be defeated. One of the biggest lessons of Badr is that we shouldn't feel defeated this Ramadan. We shouldn't feel defeated internally by giving up to laziness or making excuses or failing to perform our utmost to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't feel defeated collectively as an ummah, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on, the horrendous things that are happening to all the Muslims all across the globe. We shouldn't feel that hopelessness, for the true victory of Allah is near. So while the lessons are manifold from the Battle of Badr, inshallah, I hope the above was useful. So, inshallah, I look forward to, you know, interacting with you and listening to more of your lessons, and you're welcome to call in next week. So, one of the things that really boggles my mind, and if you think about it, why did Allah send 1,000 angels when, frankly, one was enough? When Allah wanted to destroy the people of Lut alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam came in his real form. He took one tip of his wing and just touched the ground with one portion, and that was so powerful that the whole city jumped up and turned onto its face. Throughout the Quran and Sunnah, the entire message given is you don't get anything for free, subhanAllah. Even if that effort isn't worth the result, then Jannah is not worth our actions, because Jannah is not cheap. We need to make effort, and we need to toil, and we need to struggle in that path to attain Jannah, inshallah. So there are so many lessons that we take from Badr. Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding of deen, and may we look at the Sahabas and make them a point of reference in our lives. And inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the complete iman of the Sahaba Ikram and the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like the love that they had for our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that kind of wraps it up for today, inshallah. I look forward to spending time with you next week, same time, same place. May this Ramadan strengthen our beliefs in the miracles, like we saw the miracle in the Battle of Badr. May Allah Ta'ala give us miraculous healing to all those that are suffering, for all those who are sick, in our families, in our communities, and all across the world. And in the spirit of believing in miracles, I pray that this Ramadan, that we all come together, that our hearts come together in the spirit of love, just like how the Sahaba stood in unity at the Battle of Badr, and service across our families, across our community. We need to be in service. We need to be giving and generous. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best when he came to generosity, and during this month he gave the most. So subhanallah, let us open our hearts and open our pockets and be of service across our families, across our communities, across our ummah, and across the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and keep you in great health and iman and love and service throughout this blessed month. And until we meet again next week, fi amanillah, from me and my wonderful engineer brother Jahangir, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.